Let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord in a word of opening prayer. Let's seek His face. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee today, in and through that precious and all-worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we come, Lord, to Thee today because we need Thee. We pray, Lord, You'll help us, aid us, Lord, in our worship of Thee this morning. Come and be with us today. Come and help us. And Lord, draw very near to us, we pray. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of hymn number 7. The words will be on the screen as well as in your hymn book. Hymn number 7, To God Be the Glory. Great things He hath done, so loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Hymn number 7, and we'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Seek the Lord again, please, in prayer. Let's ask for His help and His presence with us this morning. Let's pray. Our eternal God and our Father, we come into Thy presence this morning. We come, O God, to give Thee the glory and all the praise and all of the honor. O God, for Thou alone art worthy of such. O God, we do not come today to exalt ourselves, to exalt a church. O God, we come to lift on high the name of our Savior. And O God, we pray that Thy name today would be lifted on high. O God, we pray that You'll help us, Lord, through our worship of Thee, Lord, through, Lord, our singing of praise unto Thee, and through the reading and the meditation and the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that You will be pleased, Lord, to help us to exalt Thy name and to lift Thy name on high. Our Father, we thank Thee today for our Savior. We thank Thee, O God, today for the One who died for us there on the cross at Calvary. the one who shed his precious blood, Lord, that we might be saved. And we rejoice today that we have this access, Lord, to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for that fountain that was opened in the house of David for sin and for all uncleanness. We thank you, Lord, today that we are thine. We praise thee, Lord, for that moment in the lives of each one of thy people when we were taken out of the gutters of sin and we were brought into new life in Jesus Christ. Our Father, we pray that you would be pleased to come. And Lord, help us to worship thee aright. Give us, Lord, that heart of thanksgiving and praise unto thee for all that thou hast done. May we, even as we have been singing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Our Father, we pray that you'll be pleased to not only, Lord, take of our thanks, Lord, for thy presence with us today, but Lord, also we pray for that we might hear the speaking voice of God through the word of God. Come, O God, we pray, as we meditate upon thy word, we pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to come and speak to us out of thy precious word. We thank thee today that we are not left, Lord, to our own devices. Lord, as we make this journey through this earthly pilgrimage, we thank thee, O God, that you've given us the word of God, Lord, to be that lamp and to be that light. Therefore, O God, we pray, Lord, open our hearts today to the word of God. We pray, Lord, that you would be pleased, Lord, to come and, Lord, speak to us out of the living word of the living God. And Lord, we pray that we'll all catch that fresh glimpse of our Savior today. We pray, Lord, you'll bless every head bowed in thy presence. We ask, O God, that you'll remember us for good. Lord, we need thee today. Come, Lord, and help us, Lord. Take of our thanks for thy presence with us. Take of our thanks, O God, even for the word that has gone to the little ones in the Sunday school, to the young people in the Bible class. Speak on, O God, we pray, to the young in heart, we pray. And Lord, for those that are saved, lead them on with thyself. And for those that are not yet saved, we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to them. And even, Lord, this Lord's Day, we pray, Lord, that you'll bring them to thyself, we pray. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us today. Remember those who are unwell at this time in the congregation, those in hospital, Lord, those in nursing care, those in their own homes. Minister to them, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that very soon we'll see them, Lord, back in the house of the Lord again. Our Father, we look to thee. Bless us throughout this day. We ask, O God, that you'll remember the going forth of thy word, not only here, but across our land and across our nation at this time. Bless every sister congregation of the Free Church at this time. O God, we pray that you'll remember all who are faithful to thee and to the word of God, not only in our own province, but, Lord, onto the mainland, in England, in Scotland, and Wales. We just, Lord, look to thee, Lord, that you would be pleased to come and visit this land, visit this nation, O God, we pray, once again with the revival power. O God, we see it lying, Lord, in the lap of the evil one. O God, we pray that you'll come, even in the darkest of nights. Come, O God, we pray, in that, Lord, as we were thinking even on Tuesday night past, with that sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Breathe upon us, O God, we pray. Work in our hearts. But, O God, we acknowledge, Lord, that that work must begin within the hearts of each one of thy people. Therefore, O God, search us, we pray. Try us, O God, we ask. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll rid us of our sin. Rid us, O God, of those things that would hinder the blessing of God. And Lord, we pray that we might be sold out for the Savior. So hear and answer prayer. Continue with us now. Bless the word of God as it goes forth this afternoon over in Redburn to the boys and girls there. Remember us again tonight in the gospel. Bring others in under the sound of the word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that this will be a blessed day, a good day in thy house, we pray. Remember across the lands and the nations of this world, bless the going forth of thy word. O God, we pray that you'll remember those who today are being persecuted for their faith. O God, we pray that you'll stand with them. We pray, Lord, you'll be their strength and be their stay at this time. And Lord, overthrow the evil and wickedness, Lord, that is abounding on every hand. O God, we thank thee today that every evil and wicked ruler one day will bow the knee to King Jesus. And our Father, we pray that you be pleased, Lord, to work in those lands and those nations, Lord, where thy people are being persecuted for their faith. And O God, we pray that there might be a mighty turning unto thee. So hear and answer prayer. Continue with us now and bless us, we ask, in the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I ask you, please, to take the word of God. We have a copy of it, and we're turning this morning to the book of 2 Kings again, the book of 2 Kings in the chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. We're coming to the close almost. Just one more message in the life of Elisha. after today. After this chapter, we don't really read much more about Elisha. But let's read the Word of God as we have it here in 2 Kings chapter 9. And we'll read from the verse number 1, 2 Kings chapter 9. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, Gird up thy loins, and take this box of oil in thine hand, and go to Ramoth-Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in, and make him arise up from among his brethren, and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil, and pour it on his head, and say, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door, and flee, and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. When he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, Unto which of all of us? And he said, To thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil in his head, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. Thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord, at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisheth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, and the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, and the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came forth to the servants of his lord, and one said unto him, Is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, Ye know the man, and his communication. And they said, Is it false? Tell us now. And he said, Thus and thus spake he to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted, and took every man his garment, and put it under him on the top of the stairs, and blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. We're glad to see you, and we welcome you this morning in the house of the Lord. Pray the Lord will bless us all as we meet around his word today. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you in the Savior's name. Can I remind you of our Sunday school this afternoon, 2:30 over in the community center in Redburn. Then we come again for our evening gospel service at 6:30. We'd love to see you back at the evening gospel service. If you're not in the habit of coming, we'd love you to make that a habit and come tonight for our gospel meeting at 6:30. The prayer time will be preceded by the half hour of prayer, of course, at 6:00. I'll be here to preach, and our sister Joy Boyd will be here to sing tonight, God willing. Then on Tuesday night, our Explorers Club, 6:30 here in the church, and that's followed by our Bible study and prayer meeting at 8:00 on Tuesday evening. Then on Friday night, our youth fellowship meets here in the church. Do you remember that, young people? Brother Mark is speaking at the youth fellowship this coming Friday night, so we trust that you'll all join with the young people on Friday night. Also on Friday night, that will be the men's monthly prayer meeting. Men folk, do remember that, please. On Sunday, next Sunday again, we come to our normal services, 10:15. In the morning, to Sunday school and Bible class, 11:30 and 6:30, our two main services, both preceded by the half hour of prayer with the Sunday school in Redburn as well at 2:30. I'll be here to preach, God willing, and our brother Nigel Davidson will be here to sing next Sunday night. A few other announcements. Our brother Sam Houston has brought out a new CD, and it's mostly Christmas, although he doesn't call it Christmas. Jesus is Joy to the World. And so there's copies of it. There's only 8 copies there. They're priced at £10. And so it might do us a stocking filler for somebody. And so if you would like to get one, take one with you, and then you can pay at another time. Also, the LWS magazines the calendars for next year are available. They're priced £5, and you can take one with you and again pay at another stage. Do remember those who need our prayers. Do remember Sister Molly, God willing, will be discharged from hospital tomorrow in the will of the Lord to a residential home for now, and then hopefully back to Paul and Jane's house after that. But do remember Molly, pray for her at this time. Also, her brother William has been in hospital, had his operation, is back home again, and I know he appreciates your prayers. Do continue to remember William in your prayers, please. We would ask you as well to remember all of our students, our Bible College students, as they enter into that period of examination, study week this week, and then 3 or 4 weeks of exams after that. So do remember them and pray for Adam especially. Pray the Lord will bless them and be with them. It is the most horrible time of the year. It really is. Exams before Christmas, but at least they're out of the road and then they can enjoy Christmas holidays. But do remember the students in your prayers, please. Coming up very quickly then to our seniors' fellowship lunch, Saturday the 3rd of December, and I trust that you're able to join with us for that. That'll be in the Martyrs from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Do please plan to be with us for that seniors' fellowship lunch. And then also that same day, the men's night out, going bowling and eating as well. So if you fall into both categories, you'll be eating your fill that day. That's on Saturday the 3rd of December. If you haven't got your name to join, please do that as soon as possible, please. Also that Saturday, am I right in saying that's the craft fair? Yeah, there's a craft fair over in Bangor in the afternoon of that day, Saturday the 3rd of December, the craft fair in aid of the Bangor Independent Christian School, and if you're free, you'll be welcome to that. So, you could be busy all of the 3rd of December from afternoon right through to the evening. Also, on the 10th of December, am I right in saying that's our Sunday school party, isn't it? Yeah, Saturday the 10th of December is our Sunday school party. This is your last week to get your shoeboxes in for a shoebox appeal. And if you've got them in, thank you very much for doing that. Also, if you haven't got them in and you want to put the tracks into them that we're going to put into them, that would be helpful. If you haven't got your shoebox in as yet and you still want to get it in, then you can take some of these with you. There's little bundles of them, and you can put them into your shoebox and then you can seal them up. Just make sure that you tell us that they are, the tracks are in there. But this is the last opportunity for you. We need them in this week, please, and then we can get them passed on to Belfast Homeless Services. So if you can help us with that, certainly we appreciate all who have helped, and those who have taken this to heart, thank you in the Saviour's name. Do you remember the offering boxes will be available there as you leave? I think all of these are all the announcements, and of course we always make them subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing another hymn at this stage, hymn number 361. Hymn number 361, "Like a River Glorious is God's Perfect Peace Over All Victorious in Its Bright Increase." 361, and we'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's stand to sing. Thank you. We want as well to congratulate Janet and Joel. They've gone the way of all flesh and got themselves engaged. Congratulations to you both. Pray the Lord bless you. Lovely wee houses around East Belfast, as Janet knows, so you'd let us know and we'll be able to help you out. You can put your cows and sheep and all in some of the backyards as well, Joel. But congratulations to you both. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 9, please. 2 Kings chapter 9. I want to speak this morning on the subject of the coronation of the new king, the coronation of the new king. And before we come to the Word of God, let's seek His help, please, in a word of prayer. I pray the Lord will bless His Word and speak through His Word to us this morning. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee today. O God, we come very conscious of our need. O God, we need Thee today. And yet, O God, we thank Thee today that we have the promise of the Spirit. Lord, we cry unto Thee today, come and aid us, come and help us, and come and pour out Your Spirit upon us, we pray. O God, we need Thee. Lord, we pray that in this preacher, Lord, that You'll fill us with the power of God. Lord, to each one of us, Lord, that we'll hear what God, the Lord, would say to us. Lord, speak, O God, we pray. Make this a living word to all of our hearts today. Be with us, we pray. Give us help, Lord, in the preaching. Give us help in the hearing. And through it all, may the name of our Savior be honored and glorified. Answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. So the date has been set for the coronation of our new king, King Charles III, on Saturday the 6th of May next year, God willing, will be crowned formally as king in Westminster Abbey. Now, time will tell the format of that ceremony and how much of the Christian ethos will be in it, as was in his mother's ceremony as well. Time will certainly tell. But as we come to our studies and continue our studies here in the life of Elisha, we come to the coronation of another new king. Now, in the intervening periods between the end of verse chapter 8 and the start of 2 Kings chapter 9, there's quite a lot of activity. There's a lot of change of personnel. Hazael has become the new king in Syria. He turned out to be a very devious and evil and wicked man. And he saw to it by evil and wicked means that he would overthrow Ben-Hadad, who was the previous king of Syria. But when Hazael took the kingdom of Syria, his first plan and his first attack was the people and the nation of Israel. And in Israel itself, there had been a change of king as well. Jehoram was the new king. But he was a king who sadly took the nation down the wrong way. If you glance your eye to 2 Kings chapter 8 and the verse 18, we read there at the very end of that verse that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so here is another time when evil and wickedness ruled in the land and the nation of Israel. And yet all of this was not going to go unnoticed by God. Because God was about to step in, and God was about to cause things to change. Now, by this time, Elisha's ministry was almost over. In fact, we don't, as we said earlier, we don't read much more about him after chapter 9 until we come to him again in the chapter 13 and we read his parting words, which, God willing, we'll look at next week. But you see, in divine providence of God, God had to use another. God was going to use another to continue on his work. Elisha had been most faithful. Elisha had sought to be God's man for that time in the nation, but his time in this nation was coming to an end. God was going to use a man by the name of Jehu, and he was going to be anointed king over Israel. And as we read at the very end of verse 13, 2 Kings chapter 9, and the verse 13, he was indeed anointed and crowned the new king of Israel. And what we want to do today is to look at the coronation of this new king. First of all, I want you to see the commissioning of the king. The commissioning of the king. In verse number 1 of chapter 9, we read, "And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto them, Gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. When thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu." Because Jehu was going to be the next king. Jehu was going to have one of the longest reigns in the history of Israel. And one thing that was going to mark out the reign of this man, Jehu, was that he was going to rid the nation of Baal worship. Jehoram, as we have said, took the nation away from God. But Jehu was going, by the help of God, to bring the people back to God. And God's judgment was going to fall upon the nation of Israel for their sin and for their waywardness. And that was going to happen through this man called Jehu. As we think of the commissioning of this new king, I want you to see first more here that there's God's patience. God's patience. As we've said, in many ways, Jehu was going to be God's instrument to execute God's judgment upon the nation for their rebellion, for their desire to get away from God. But Jehu was going to be the man that God was going to use to rid the nation of false worship. But what is interesting is that this judgment, in the form of bringing the people back to God and ridding them of idolatry and having to deal with them harshly, as we'll see, was delayed by God for a period of time. You see, originally God was going to execute this judgment upon the nation during the reign of Ahab. Ahab was king when Elijah was prophet in the nation. And at that time, God, through Elijah, warned the people that he was going to judge the nation because of their evil. You turn back to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. First Kings chapter 21, and here we have the account in Naboth's vineyard. But God was going to judge the people because of Ahab's sin and wickedness. And look at verse 27, 1 Kings chapter 21 and the verse 27. "And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words," that is, the words that the people were going to be destroyed, "that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly." Here was a time when Ahab, the wicked king, repented and was sorry and was broken over the way that he had led the nation. And because of that, God's judgment was delayed. Because look at verse 28. "And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house." God was going to delay his judgment. God was going to execute mercy rather than justice. But he was going to execute his justice nonetheless. And that was going to come as we come into 2 Kings chapter 9. You see, God is always true to his word. God always executes judgment and carries out his justice. Now, sadly, as far as Ahab was concerned, his repentance was only superficial. It was counterfeit. There was no depth to it at all. And God was not going to be fooled, and his judgment was going to fall. And we see his judgment falling here in 2 Kings chapter 9. Yes, we have a God of mercy today, But we also have a God of justice. And many people will look at our land and look at our nation and will wonder, how much further can we go? Folks, we are only where we are today because of the mercy of God. God could have stepped into this land and nation and really executed his justice, but he's been merciful. But he will. He will execute his judgment someday. Let me bring that into the smaller scale. To you who are here without Jesus Christ, and you know that God is a God of wrath and God is a God of judgment and that God will judge sin, and you think that because you've lived all of your life without the Lord, that somehow you will escape the justice of God and the wrath of God. No. You're only here today by the mercy of God. God has been merciful, but one day God's wrath will fall and God will judge you for your sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God's patience. And sinner, you're here today simply because of the patience and the mercy of God. But God will act. God will speak, and God will judge. So as we think of this commissioning, we see God's patience in it, but we also see God's purpose in it. God's purpose. God, through Elisha, as we read in 2 Kings chapter 9, had commanded that Jehu be anointed and appointed the new king of Israel. Look what we read in verse number 1. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise from his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. This man was going to be anointed by the will of God and in the will of God. God was going to set aside Jehoram and was going to set up Jehu. Jehoram had failed in his responsibilities. And God was going to set him aside. And now he was going to anoint another who would lead the people and the nation in the ways of God. And what he was doing in all of this was bringing the people back to God. Because we read in verse number 7, and thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the prophets of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. God was working according to his plan and to his purpose. In all of his works of providence, God works in order to bring his people back to himself. Everything that God does, it's for his own glory and it's for our good. And ultimately, that is to bring us into that closer fellowship and walk with the Lord. Whatever God does in your life and mine, whether in our eyes it be good or whether in our eyes it be bad, it is for the purpose of bringing us into that closer fellowship with Him, that through it our lives would glorify the Lord. The lives of the nation of Israel did not glorify God at that time. And so God was going to act with this purpose of bringing the people back to the ways of God and in so doing, glorify himself. God's purpose in all of his actions is that we might lean more upon him. That we might love him more, that we might enjoy his presence more. As old William Cowper discovered during the darkness of the depression of his own soul, he said, God's purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. God's purposes will always ripen. And for this purpose of bringing the people back to God, God had another man rather than Elisha. We do not know why he did not use Elisha. Some commentators have suggested different reasons. We cannot know why God did not use Elisha. It certainly was not because of any failure on the part of Elisha, but God still used someone. And God was going to use this man, Jehu. And this man was commissioned to be king in the stead of Jehoram. So the commissioning of the king. But let's come now, secondly, to the coronation of the king. Because in verses 4 through to 10, we have the new king, Jehu, being crowned and anointed as king. The sons of the prophets are sent to Ramoth-Gilead to find him, to the very house where he is, to bring him out and to tell him that he is going to be the new king. Verse number 4, we read, so the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of all of us? And he said, to thee, O captain. Verse 6, and he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and saith unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. Here's the coronation of the new king. And as we think of this coronation, notice the exaltation of it. I want you to see something there in verse number 6. He arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, that is, on Jehu's head, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Notice the authority is on the Lord, not on Jehu. Notice the emphasis on the authority and the sovereignty and the power of God, not on the earthly monarch or the sovereign. Because you see, this man, Jehu, was being made king by the sovereign decree, plan, and purpose and permission of God. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And again, that reminds us that all acts are acts in accordance with the will of God. There are no random acts in this world. There are no random activities in your life or mine. God acts, and when God acts, he always does so in accordance with his word. He acts in accordance with what he has already planned in eternity past. When the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit planned every decree, planned every plan and purpose. And now, day by day, moment by moment, we are seeing the unfolding of the will of God. The eternal purposes of God are being fulfilled, just as they were being fulfilled here in the life of Jehu. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. You see, when the son of the prophet came to Jehu and told him those words, thus saith the Lord God, he was reminding Jehu, God is the ultimate sovereign. God is the one who sets up and God is the one who sets down. He was being reminded, as we all need to be reminded, that we are accountable all to God. We are all subject to a higher power. We do not live to ourselves. We live to God. We are accountable and we are subject to him. By those words, in verse number 6, Jehu was being reminded, you might be king over Israel, but there's a king of kings and Lord of lords in heaven. Every power, every ruler, every people are all subject to the Lord. It doesn't matter whether people acknowledge that or not, we are. And folks, that brings us great comfort and encouragement. We see wickedness abounding on every side. We see evil rulers of lands and nations and principalities. And what are they in the sight of God? They're only as grasshoppers. God is the ultimate sovereign. God is Lord over all, and God is Lord of all. And Jehu was being reminded, you're being made king. But remember who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord God. Notice how this anointing took place in verse number 3. It was through the box of oil being poured out on his head. That was then that took place in verse number 6. The oil was poured out on the head of Jehu. The oil symbolizing, of course, the Holy Spirit. For this man to do what he was called to do, he needed the help of the Spirit. And you see, folks, for us, we may not never be kings or queens, but we're all called to be ambassadors for the Lord. And for us to do what God calls us to do and commands us to do, we need the help of the Spirit as well. This man couldn't carry out the acts that he was to carry out without the help of the Spirit. And you and I can't live for God without the help of the Holy Spirit either. And sometimes in the evangelical church, there's a shying away from the need of the Holy Spirit to help us. There's a reluctance to plead for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit because of the way that the doctrine has been confused and thwarted by the charismatics who have worked up a false spirit and manufactured a false spirit. But you see, folks, the reality is, if we're going to do anything for God, whatever it is, we need the help of the Spirit. If you're going to live for God, if you're going to walk with God, attempt to do anything for God, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You can never do it by yourself. Whether we're called to high office or lowly station, it matters not. We need the help of the Spirit. We see the exaltation in this coronation. But I want you to see as well the exhortation. We come to verse 7. Here the son of the prophet is speaking to Jehu. And he exhorts him and tells him what he was to do. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. The Lord, through the son of the prophet, told Jehu exactly what he was to do. In his reign and rule over the nation, he was not appointed there to glorify himself or to exalt himself. He wasn't there to sit around on a throne all day. He was called to action. He was called to do a work for God. He had an assignment. It was a difficult one, but one that he was called to do, and by the help of the Spirit he could do. Let me bring that into the life of every child of God. We're saved, every one of us, to serve. Every one of us are called to serve the Lord. We're not called to sit. We're called to serve. Now that service does not mean front of house all the time. More than often it'll be behind the scenes. In your home, in your local area, in your family, in your business, in your community, in your business, wherever you work, or perhaps in your employment. We're all called to serve the Lord. There was something that this man was to do, and there is something that you and I have to do as well. Jehu had a task to do. He had a commission to carry out. As we'll see, it was one of judgment. He was to destroy the whole house of Ahab. The whole house of Ahab. In order to avenge the blood of those that Ahab had killed and destroyed. Jezebel, who of course, as you know, was Ahab's wife, a wicked woman. She had instigated a plan of slaughter and murder of God's prophets and those loyal to the Lord during the time of Elijah.
that God hadn't forgotten about it. It hadn't escaped the attention of God. What evil and wickedness Ahab and Jezebel carried out during their reign. And now, while God's judgment was delayed, it was going to be delivered. You see, sin had to be dealt with. Had to be dealt with forthrightly and fully. And of course, to do such a thing will never be popular. But that was what this man, Jehu, was called to do. Look at verse 10. Because now we see the eradication in this coronation. Verse 10, it says, "And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her." And he opened the door and fled. God's judgment, you see, wasn't going to be pleasant. This was going to be humiliating. God is essentially saying, Jezebel and Ahab, Jezebel was essentially the one in charge. They might have been wicked and carried out slaughter of God's people in the past, but God was going to have his day. And God was going to have his say. And God was going to act in judgment. And the ignominy and the shame that this would bring on the ungodly would be clear for all to see. The dog shall eat Jezebel. God would act. God would judge. Because God always deals with sin. You know, there are many today who are just like Jezebel, aren't there? Many who hate the Word of God. Many who hate the preaching of the Word of God. Many who hate the standards of the Word of God. Many who hate the Church of Jesus Christ. Many who spew out their anti-God venom on all who will seek to stand for God. And they hate God with a passion. But such things and such evil and such wickedness does not go unnoticed by God. I don't know if you buy the Belfast Telegraph. I don't buy it. I read it where I can for free. But on Friday past, there was an article in the Belfast Telegraph by one of their journalists, a man called Gareth Hanna. Now, I don't know who he is. Never came across him before. But as I looked into him, I seemed to think that this was a man who's been brought up in a Christian home. Because he has renounced all Christian values, and he writes about the church needing to accept the sodomite community and the church needing to be an advocate for environmentalism and so on. But on Friday, he wrote an article, and the whole tenor and tone of the article was speaking out against street preachers, how that they offer nothing but hatred and vile to the city of Belfast. And he denounced preaching, street preaching, gospel preaching, as toxic, without any hope or without any compassion. Here was a man who hates the gospel. But of course, he's not alone. And you know, folks, we can get ourselves all worked up about such people. And we can get the blood pressure worked up as well when we read about what they write about and we see them on the news. And it's just one thing after another. But listen, Jezebel was an evil, wicked woman. Carried out evil, wicked acts. But God was going to deal with her and her house. And listen, folks, one day every single person who mocks God Every single person who slanders the name of God and the gospel of God, one day they will be put to open shame as well. It may not be in our day, but it will be one day on that day of judgment when they will be shamed and they will be damned. Oh yes, they might spew out their hatred now, but God will pour out His wrath and judgment on that day. God was going to pour out His wrath upon the house of Ahab for their sin. And God will always be true to His word. That is why the psalmist tells us in Psalm 37, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And we do fret. And we do get ourselves worried. And we do get ourselves anxious. And we hear all of this opposition to the Church of Christ and all this overturning of the standards of the Word of God. We get ourselves worried, but we shouldn't. Because just as they have their day, God will have His day. And God who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and He shall have them in derision. And Jezebel thought she was a great woman. Oh, she was out to get Elijah. And she thought she got away with it. But God was going to step in. We are therefore not to fear when we see evil and wickedness abounding on every side. Because greater than any earthly monarch or any earthly ruler, we have a God who is keen over all and who will execute all His plans according to His purpose. The commissioning of the new king. The coronation of the new king. But finally, as we close, I want us to make then some commentary on the new king. Because as we come into verse 11 of 2 Kings chapter 9, then on into verse chapter 10 as well, we see what this man then does. The sons of the prophets have carried out their activity. They've done what they were told to do. They went, they anointed Jehu. They told him what he was to do. Then verse 11, then Jehu came forth to the servants of his Lord. They wanted to know, what is it all about? What is it all about? He told him. And we see what he was to do. And in verse number 12, they said, "Is it false? Tell us now." He said, "Thus and thus spake he to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel." Here was a man who realized that this was of the Lord. Here was a man who acknowledged that he had a commission, and it was a divine commission. Here was a man who realized that he had something to do. And I want you to go down to verse 22, and we're only skipping through some of these verses here. But in verse 22, whenever he is called and he is doing, carrying out what he is called to do, "It came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, Is it peace, Jehu?" And look at the answer that he gave. He answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?" He realized there was a problem. He realized there couldn't be peace in the land and the nation when there was such rebellion against the word of God, when there was sin being carried out. And he says, "Well, is it peace?" In other words, will peace come to our land? And Jehu said, no, it won't, as long as there is such evil and wickedness being condemned and condoned in the land. He realized they were not worshiping the true God. He realized there needed to be a returning back, and there needed to be a purging, there needed to be a dealing with sin. And you can read on down. We're not going to take time to do it, but on down from verse 24. Right the whole way down to the end of the chapter, right into chapter 10. We see how he dealt with the problem. How he dealt with the problem. But as we close this morning, as we make our final comments on this man, I want you to see, turn over to chapter 10 and the verse 31. And it seemed that all was going well for Jehu. He was doing as he was commanded to do. But in 2 Kings chapter 10 and the verse 31, we have a but. A but. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 31, but Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart. He took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart. For he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. Here was a man who was willing to rid the sins of others, but wasn't willing to deal with the sin in his own life. He refused to wholly give himself to the Lord. There was compliance, there was obedience to the will of God, to the plan of God, but it was only partial. He wasn't willing to do it himself. In other words, then it was just all for show. Because he still had a heart out of touch with the Lord. It might have seemed that Jehu was doing a great task, and he was. But he wasn't willing to deal with his own heart and life first. You see, folks, it's a fearful thing that while we may fool others, we'll never fool God. It seemed to the people of Israel at this time, well, here's a man bringing us back to God, and he did that. But he wasn't willing to do what needed to be done in his own heart and life, first of all. He wouldn't take heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart. He was telling everybody else what they should be doing, but he wasn't willing to do it for himself. We can rightly rebuke the sins of our land and our nation and our people, but are we willing to deal with the sin in our own hearts and lives first of all? Sin of coldness? Sin of prayerlessness, whatever sin it might be. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Jehu essentially was disobedient. He thought he could play with God, act like a Christian, and all the time he was a deceiver. Jehu was a man who, like Samson, started well, but it didn't end very well. You see, folks, we are not simply to learn the Word of God. And Jehu learned the Word of God. He knew what the Word of God told him to do. But he wasn't willing to live by the Word of God himself. This was inconsistency in his walk with God, to say the very least. In fact, in verse 29 of chapter 10, we see how that he condemned the sins of others, but condoned sin in his own backyard. Verse 29, chapter 10, howbeit, from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the golden calves that were in Bethel and that were in Dan. Happy enough to shout about the sins in other places, but not willing to deal with the sin at home. This was a man who in the end used God for his own plans and his own ambitions, who played the big Christian when it suited, and sadly lived like a sinner the rest of the time. He sought to do away with the sins of Baal worship in others, but harbored sin in his own heart and life because he would not walk in the ways of God with his whole heart. Folks, it's not about how we start. It's about how we continue and how we finish. You might have started well for God. Started in a blaze of great evangelical fervor for God. But how are you today? Where are you today? Oh, we can cast a gate and we can judge others. But where are we today with God? Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart. He started well, but he finished badly. May we take lessons today. Yes, Jehu certainly is to be commended. A man plucked from relative obscurity to be king of Israel, and he carried it out. He wanted to rid the nation of sin, but yet he wasn't willing to deal with sin in his own heart and life. Folks, it's the easiest thing to shout. It's the easiest thing in the world to say and to see the wrong in everybody else's life. But what about our own? Are we walking in the ways of God? Not with fits and starts, but rather consistently, persistently, continually walking with God. Where are we today with God? Where are we today in our living for God? May we not be like Jehu, who simply did the will of God for a show. May we do it with all our hearts. May we do it with a heart that is purged and cleansed. And as we look into our own hearts, that God would cleanse us. And then having cleansed us, that God would use us.